Joined right now by Steve Tasker from CBS Sports, and of course, you know him on a lot of the Browns broadcast because you got a lot of their games, Steve. And since we last talked, this team has made a lot of changes, starting with the head coach, Rob Chudzinski. Now Norv Turner is offensive coordinator. Ray Horton is defensive coordinator. Just your general take on all the changes the Browns have made.
Well, it's going to be Chudzinski's first shot at it, but he's been considered for a lot of spots in a lot of places, and I really like Norv Turner as an offensive coordinator. You ask around, and I know a lot of people have issues with Norv. I mean, he's never won the big game. He was nothing without Troy Aikman was the guy that made him. But let me tell you something. There are coaches around the NFL. You ask around, I've heard a guy told me that he thinks Norv Turner's maybe the greatest play caller of all time. Mm. He says he is a brilliant tactician with his personnel, formations, play calling, the way he uses his people to get the most out of them and to put pressure on a defense.
Right.
He says he's second to none. And I agree. I mean, head coaches who call their own plays, it's tough, I think. I think it's a difficult task. And Norv, you know, obviously it didn't go well for him in San Diego when he was a head coach trying to call the plays. But as a coordinator, I think the Browns got a good one.
And, you know, he's also a guy that a lot of people would look at as a good fixer of quarterbacks, a guy who just brings that technical sense. And, so if assuming Brandon Whedon is still there or whoever is still on or whoever's on the team, and you know there's going to be young quarterbacks who are part of it, inexperienced guys, they would benefit from that instruction.
Yeah, and I think, too, in the NFL, you fix what you can fix, because you expect the players to be committed to fixing it themselves. So if that's the case, then that's where it goes. You fix what you can fix. You don't fix what you can't fix, and you don't try and fix what's not broken. And that's where you're at with quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Norv is going to have to sit down with Brandon, you know, and gauge his level of commitment and say, listen, we got to work on this, and I want you to do it. And Brandon's going to have to step up to the plate and do it. There are people who know how to play quarterback in this league, and they're going to be on the Browns staff, and it's up to Brandon to listen to them and get it done.
For a lot of reasons, people hate change in almost anything, but especially when it comes to football. So when you're changing coaches, when you're changing schemes, inevitably you're going to have players who are carried over from a previous scheme, it's a setback, and there's a lot of concern among Browns fans that does the new coaching staff mean that they've got to sort of suffer through some struggles? Or, Steve, as you watch games each week and see how this league has evolved from the time you played in it till now, or even when you were playing in it, how do you feel about how you can adapt to change can it happen in a short enough time?
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the 49ers. Jim Harbaugh came in, and all of a sudden they're snapping off a 13-3 season. They were not very good 2 years ago, last year they were very good, and that was a flip of a switch. We've also seen teams take a step backwards when they switch head coaches. Most of it, you can say what you want about head coaches, they are vitally important. You asked the New Orleans Saints how important Sean Payton was this last year in his absence. They're important, but, you know, you can pick any head coach you want. If he goes in, he's got 3-13 talent. That's what you're going to go 3-13.
Sure.
And so you don't usually take a team over like Jim Harbaugh. It was no coincidence that Harbaugh looked at that roster and saw what he had. He knew. So that's why, you know, he jumped at the chance to move what was a tremendous job he did at Stanford, a great job to have at Stanford, particularly a job that he was doing so well and getting so much notoriety for doing well, to make the switch and move to another team that had not been good for a long, long time.
Right.
You knew he saw something on that roster that made him think it was possible to win.
Steve Tasker joins us from CBS Sports, former NFL standout, played for the Buffalo Bills, one of the greatest special teams players in the history of this game. Steve, as we look at the game and the Super Bowl and you bring up the 49ers and what Jim Harbaugh did there, and you look at the Ravens and what his brother John has done with that team. It almost seems like, for a lot of reasons, this matchup is about as right as it could be for the respective conferences, right? I mean, and not just because of the whole brother angle, but just what these teams do, what the strength of the Ravens is versus what the strengths of the 49ers are.
It's no coincidence that these teams look like each other.
I mean,
the two head coaches shared a bedroom for 18 years, you know. So the teams look alike. They're built with the same philosophy. However, Now, we know about the big decisions. The 49ers came and they made the big switch to Kaepernick midway through the year, and it was a home run. I mean, the kid was a home run waiting to happen. It was going to happen, and because of Alex Smith's injury, they plugged him in, and you tip your hat to Cap. That guy, no pun intended. You got to tip your hat to him. He answered every test with flying, you know, and aced it. On the other side, you look at the Ravens. They had serious doubts as to the fact that they were going to make it in the playoffs. Right. Lewis was injured. Suggs was injured. Switched offensive coordinators. And the first game out, I mean, they struggled offensively. It was a bad-looking offense when they switched it. And Jim Caldwell came out and started calling plays for the first game. I mean, they didn't look good offensively. They might have won the game, but they did not look good. And now all of a sudden, they made a couple of switches up front. They put McKinney at left tackle. Michael Orr goes to right tackle. Their offensive line all of a sudden snaps into place like it was meant to be. Joe Flacco's throwing the ball better than anybody in the league, period.
Yeah.
And their defense gets Ray Lewis back, Suggs gets healthy, and all of a sudden, this little contraption that was limping down the road, I mean, this was like the Clampett's truck going to Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, they were stuff falling off the back of it. It was, you know, one of the wheels was crooked, and they were limping. And all of a sudden, somebody flipped a switch, and they are brand new Humvee. They are bulletproof, and they are big, powerful, nasty, and they go 100 miles an hour. They are... And it just seemed to snap. So both teams built the same way, but Baltimore is riding that roller coaster, riding the crest of momentum coming in.
Yeah, I would think that's really the key here is getting hot at the right time. And this game is everything. And we've seen it with the Giants. We've seen history of that in recent years. The other thing, Steve, is you bring up Kaepernick, and just observing how unique this guy is, there's a big part of me that doesn't think that this is just like a temporary fad, that he's actually got kind of the perfect dynamics to be successful for a long time, because I don't see him. I know when a quarterback runs, it's always a scary thing and a bad thing. They get hit. But I think the way he runs and when he chooses to run, and I know there's some design plays, but for the most part, it's if they're not open, I'm going. And that just gives the defense an 11th guy to worry about when people are covered. Normally, people are covered. The quarterback, you don't worry about the quarterback. He throws it away or whatever forces it.
You make an interesting point, because one of the things that shocked a lot of the media people here that we don't see the Niners very often. Kaepernick walks into the room and it's like, oh my God, he's listed at 6'4". I got to cry foul.
Yeah,
he's 6'6".
Yeah,
and he's got some mass on his arms. He's built long and lean, and he walks around like he's 5'8". That kind of nimble, quick coordination. I mean, the guy's got it. So he is a special athlete who can run the football in a way that maybe other quarterbacks never have before. Mm-hmm. My problem is, and you know this, Vic, if I'm defending the read option, Colin Kaepernick's getting hit and hit hard every play. He's going to get smashed every play, because if he's faking like he's got the ball, he is not entitled to the protection of a quarterback in the pocket. He's going to take a shot, and he's going to take a lot of them. So Cap may be a guy who goes to the Hall of Fame, but he's going to do it like Gale Sayers did. It's like 64 games is his whole career. Mm. That's what Gale Sayers' career was.
Yeah, short.
Cap may be a comet. He may come in, burn really brightly, and be spectacular while he's here, but he may only last a few short years.
That's a great point. The other thing I want to ask you, because this is something you can lend perspective to, playing in four consecutive Super Bowls as you did, when you look at the quarterbacks, especially Kaepernick and Joe Flacco, neither has been on this stage, and their teammates, a lot of their teammates haven't been on this stage. You know what the stage is like, and you know how hot that light burns, how brightly it burns for them. Is there any reason to think, based on what you've seen going to the various sessions and being around these clubs in your reporting capacity with CBS Sports, that it could be too much for them to deal with this?
I think the most impressive thing about Kaepernick is the fact that he's been unflusterable. The guy's unflappable. There has never been a moment too big for him. Now, he's only had 9 starts, granted, but his first one was on Monday night against the number one D in the country, the Bears. Remember that night?
Yeah.
And he crushed them.
Yeah.
Decisively. He made throws and runs that people were like, whoa, who is this guy? Where has he been? Then it was like, well, they're going to New England. You know, nobody beats New England in New England in December.
Right.
They go in, it's 31-3 before New England mounts the great comeback, ties it up, and it looks like, well, the Niners are going to, you know, just let it slip away. And Kaepernick answers with a one-play drive for a touchdown. He makes the throw, and Crabtree breaks the tackle, touchdown. They answered that decisively. Nothing has been too big for him. And, of course, Flacco, I think, is the same way. You can't fluster him. I mean, he is just Joe Cool. And he can make throws nobody else can make. And I think Jim Caldwell, because of his experience with Peyton Manning for all those years, he asked him to make throws nobody else would ask their quarterback to make, and Joe can do it.
Yeah.
Receivers become uncovered when they're covered because of the accuracy Joe Flacco can put on the ball.
Right, those tight windows. He can penetrate. Steve, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Great seeing you, man.
Yeah, great to see you always, and we'll talk soon.
Enjoy the week.
He is Steve Tasker, former NFL great, CBS Sports. And you know him, of course. He covers so many Browns games for CBS, so he's kind of an authority on this team as well. And we've got much more coming up from Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans. Radio Row, Vic Carucci with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.